And we're back here on WWGH Radio 13, coming up on 14 minutes past the hour on this first day of August 2019 here on The Early Show. And this hour, we are going to recap the last two nights of the Democratic primary presidential debates. And if you kept up on it, the first night was a little mild. And last night was something else, and we're going to talk about that momentarily. Do want to remind you that we do have a pair of tickets to the Ohio State Fair tomorrow night, the big entertainment show, Bad Company with Fog Hat. We do have entrance for that. Charlie Evers will be taking entrance this morning starting at 10:15, and we will draw for these tickets this morning at the end of Charlie's show at 11:55. So stay tuned for that, and you can pick them up here at the station till 1 o'clock today, and that show's tomorrow night, Friday, as the Ohio State Fair wraps up on Saturday. Now, our guest this morning, guest analyst, we'll talk about a lot of things over the next 2 hours, but starting with the Democratic presidential primary, is one of my favorite people. She was here 2 weeks ago today and has an open house coming up on August the 31st from 2 to 4 p.m. at Primrose Retirement Community, located at 1550 Wellness Drive. That's where her museum is, which houses a lot of great pictures and artifacts from her career of 50-plus years serving the public. The 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, good to see you again.
Well, it's good to see you, Scott.
August 31st is the date?
Yes.
And on that date, people can come out to Primrose. There's no admission.
No.
And you will be there to answer questions about anything they want to know.
Yes, right. I'll be there.
we've talked before about it, but what gets the most questions at the museum?
Oh, let's see. Well, when it's finished, they want to know how I got my job. They always want to know that. It seems like everybody is interested in that. And I think probably the $20 bill that I gave John Glenn, there's always some questions about that. So, you know, people are fascinated with that.
Since we spoke last, you were the keynote speaker at the Harding Symposium over at OSU. This year, the focus was on women. Mm-hmm. Women's suffrage, I think, was the underlying mm-hmm. title. What was that event like?
It was great. Yeah, it went well. I enjoyed it tremendously. And I said, you know, I bet three-fourths of the people in the room I didn't know, really.
Do you think that we are going to see a lot of talk of women's suffrage as we head to the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote?
Yes, I think so. It's on everyone's mind pretty much. And it's a fascinating subject, really. It's been talked about a lot, but very little progress. I don't think there's a whole lot of progress.
Why do you think, obviously neither you nor I was around in 1920, 1919 when this was going on, why do you think it took more than 100 years in this country for women to get the right? They were the last group, really.
Yes, it was the thinking that women didn't have the good sense to vote, I think, was what was behind it. I think that's what a lot of men thought.
Women who went out and voted in those early days, in the 20s, it was a big deal for those women.
Sure. And they probably voted how their husbands felt. You know, I'm sure that's probably how they voted.
And I think I'm right about this. To this day, I think more women vote than men.
Yes, that's right.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, there's more women than men.
Just in general,
yeah,
the population.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think we are ever going to see huge numbers of people turning out to vote population-wise? Have we ever been over 40% of people who voted?
Well, you know, if there's some hot issue on the ballot other than the people, a lot of times that would really get everybody out. Votes on work, you know, I forget what's the term on, I can't think of it right now, but there's issues in the past that have really gotten the people out.
They certainly have. I know a person who tells me, and they are a registered voter here in Marion County, they say, I only vote in presidential elections.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think that's kind of strange because I would think the local elections would impact them more.
Yeah, they should care about who their local people are, really. They're close to you and they're the ones that you work with.
Being that you served on the local, state, and national level, what did you find when it came to a local election? Turnout is always lower in a year where they're, like this year, they would consider an off year. No governors, no senators, no president. That turnout will be lower in November.
Well, when I ran, it was always in the off year of the presidential race, and that's when the state elections are, and I think people really should be paying attention to that. You know, it's very important.
Do you think on the local level the idea is for most people that I don't know these people, it's hard to get background information on them, and how informed can I be?
Yeah, well, that feeling, you should try to find out about it before you go vote. And after you find out what the person is like, and there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. Maybe you have a chance to hear them speak, maybe you don't, and maybe you just look at their background on the computer or, you know, whatever's in the paper. Usually the paper covers people running for office. So you need to try to get yourself educated on what's happening so that you can vote intelligently.
When you were running for local office here in Marion County, what was the most important, if they didn't know anything else, the most important thing you wanted voters to know about you?
Oh, that I was going to do the job disregarding whatever the politics were. I was going to do the job for everybody, not just one party or the other.
That's interesting because do you think the D and the R mean more now than they did then in local politics?
Oh, I don't think so. I think it always, very, very much a part of people's thinking.
Do you think people vote for the person or the party?
Well, it depends on the person. You know, some people may be one, the other, other people be the other. It's very interesting to talk to people and hear what they have to say. I talked to somebody the other day, and he said, I think we've got to get rid of the Muslims and not have any immigrants. And I thought, oh, dear. You know, you hear strange things, you know.
What would be the instance, as a Democrat, as a member of a party, where you would not vote for the Democrat in the race?
Well, there was a situation a few years ago. I didn't vote for the person for governor that I didn't care for. I just didn't vote.
You know, a lot of people did that. A lot of people have done that in elections.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. Does it have an impact, do you think?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is politics personal when you're involved? Do you feel personal about things when people say them? You know they're trying to win an election, but they are saying them about you. Did you take them personally?
Well, you take some of it personally because they're saying it for a reason. I think you have to pay attention to that because that's your feedback.
Do you think the general public believes everything they hear?
Probably not.
Do you think in the day when you would, in the days when you were running, when there was no internet, when you would read a story that was untrue about you in the paper or hear it on the news, how would you respond?
Well, you try to correct it right away. Sometimes you can't get it corrected. And it just keeps going, and there's nothing you can do.
What was the story that was most untrue that got traction about you in your career?
Well, there was, when I was state treasurer, there was a statement made about one of my projects that was not true, and it was during an election, and I tried to get it corrected, and they just kept printing it in different newspapers, and it's very difficult to get something stopped sometimes.
Was the media difficult to deal with in Ohio?
Well, I didn't think they were. I thought they were pretty reasonable. I liked most of the people I dealt with. I felt that they should have strong guidelines about what they printed. I mean, not to just randomly print things. And so I think most of the people I dealt with were pretty responsible.
Do you think there's a bias in the media?
Yeah, mm-hmm, there is.
Where do you think the bias lies?
Well, it's on both sides. Yeah, both sides.
Do you think that people tend to listen, that old saying, preaching to the choir, to what they want to hear?
I think so. They will give reasons why they voted the way they did, and sometimes it's unbelievable. I mean, I can't hardly believe anybody would vote for someone that what they just explained, and that seems to be happening lately.
It used to be said that people voted for the person who they liked as a person, wanted to have a drink with. Do you think that still holds up?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to have a drink with most of
Do you have to have some kind of charisma? I guess is what that comes back to.
Well, you have to come across with what you're trying to tell people. I mean, you have to have a way of saying it that is going to catch their interest. And that's what I was watching last night. There wasn't a whole lot that was catching my interest last night. It seemed to be they were just trying to make their place in this huge crowd of people. I said I never did like primaries. Primaries are difficult, and we've got so many people, and you're running against people that really think like you do, pretty much. Although last night it didn't sound that way.
Well, that's interesting. Last night, and even really Tuesday night, I think the big story Tuesday night is that there was clearly a riff in what people believe when it came to Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and everybody else on that stage. Is there a riff in the Democratic Party when it comes to belief?
Oh, yes. Oh, there's all different facets of belief.
Does it all really, though, come down? It seems to me that it all really comes down to what can we do for people for free? Medicare seemed to be the talk the last two nights. And what can't we do? Because it seemed a Tuesday night, like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren spent the entire time saying we can do Medicare for all, we can do free college, we can do all this stuff free, we just have to tax this group of people. And everybody else on the stage was saying, that's fairy tale.
There were so many ideas about health care from both nights, and it was due to the question asked that they were asked, but they're going to have all of this passed through Congress, and how are they going to do that?
Well, and the Senate, if it stays the way it is.
I mean, they're not going to get it passed if things are the way they are today, and they have to have 60 votes in the Senate for anything due to health care. And I listened to so many ideas. I mean, it's good that they're thinking of things, but I think that the public is going to be turned off by not being able to have their insurance that they want. I think that's going to cause a lot of people not to vote for Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders.
Is Medicare for All a good idea?
Well, it could be a good idea. And I thought at first, I know the reason that that Elizabeth Warren is going that route is because she wants to get rid of the pharmaceuticals. I mean, she's really got in her mind the fact that this will destroy them so that they can't, you know, rip people off all the time for the high cost of their medicine. And it's a wonderful thought. But when that comes down to a vote on you're not going to be able to have your insurance plan that you've already got, I think a lot of people will be turned off by that.
Is there a problem right now between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren that they essentially stand for the same things and might split the vote?
Well, it very well could be. I think Elizabeth Warren is an extremely intelligent person, and she, you know, created the Consumer Protection agent. I always say agency; it's bureau, and that was an amazing thing that she did there. And you listen to her, and she is very, very impressive. But I just think there's some things that people aren't going to go for. And I think taking away your insurance is one of them.
Now, interestingly enough, our candidate here from Ohio, Tim mm-hmm. Ryan, has not been getting a lot of play. But he got play yesterday mm-hmm. because he was, I think, the most seen clip from Tuesday night's debate. But I don't think in the way you want to be seen in a clip because he got in a dust-up with Bernie Sanders. And Bernie kind of took care of him, let's say, handled him in that particular situation. If you didn't see it, basically, Tim Ryan was pointing out that what Bernie was saying about getting free eyeglasses and dental work was not true. And Bernie says, I know what's true. I wrote the bill. And he used a little more colorful language than that when he said it, which got a roar from the crowd. Did Tim Ryan make a mistake there?
Oh, I think he did. Yeah. It was a bad mistake. Then you listen to they talked about that last night, and they said, what Bernie was trying to promote that he'd written the bill. I mean, you know, and it's always the angles of why they're talking about this. And I was so interested in all the people that are in the Senate or the House. All they talk about is the bills they've passed. Then you have the governors who have really run states and have had good experience. I'm not so sure people that have been in the Senate and the House have enough experience to be a president.
Do you think perception on that stage matters? Because I believe time-wise, and the first night, it was Bernie and Elizabeth Warren for the majority.
It was, yeah.
So perception-wise, they're getting this free airtime. That do they just automatically become front runners because of that?
Well, we'll see. You know, and we'll be watching the polls here in the next few days to see what results they got. But my guess would be that they'll go up in the polls. But I'm still amazed at the poll numbers for Biden, because I didn't think he'd be able to maintain his poll numbers, but he is.
He is holding on to
it.
After the first night, we went to the second night, which was last night, which I think people expected to be a little more hard-hitting. But I don't think that... Did you expect it to be as hard-hitting as it was?
No, I didn't. I didn't expect them to be criticizing each other, although the media kept saying that's what was going to happen.
Well, as near as I could tell last night, the real dust-ups came between Kamala Harris and Biden again, Gillibrand and Biden, and Booker and Biden had some real real dust-ups. Are those the front runners from the debate? Did anybody else stick out last night to you?
Did you mention Booker?
Booker, yeah.
Yeah.
Booker, Gillibrand,
Harrison.
Yeah,
I thought Biden held his own. I thought he did a fairly good job. It wasn't an extremely good job, but it was a fairly good job. And, of course, Gillibrand, I think, has a ways to go. What is she at, 1% or 2%?
She seems to be having a problem getting traction.
Yeah. Amy, what's her last name? Klobuchar. She's another one that's... that's down in the, you know, down in numbers toward the bottom. But she said that she's accepted for the third debate, so she knows that, I guess.
The knock on Amy Klobuchar, who was in the first night's debate, I kept hearing people say it looked like she didn't show up. She didn't prepare. Did you get that impression the first night?
I don't know. She doesn't turn me on at all. I don't know. I can't get with her thinking.
What has happened? Not a lot of talk about him. Some, but not a lot. To Buttigieg, he was the big star for a while, the number one money raiser for a while, and now really not a whole lot of talk.
Well, he did a pretty good job at the debate. But he's having trouble getting the black vote, and you have to have that.
Do you think, and as I say, it's a strange question to ask maybe in 2019, we talked about it a little bit last time, is some of this going to go back to the fact that he is openly gay?
Well, I suppose that's a factor. There's still some people that would, you know, not be favorable to that. In fact, the Methodist Church is an example of that. You know, they're having difficulties with it, and it's hard for people to accept change.
Is one of the problems in the Democratic Party right now that clearly everybody on the stage both nights wants Donald Trump out of office, but yet I think there's a little bit of fear because the candidates are so different. I think a lot of people are thinking, well, is that the main question? Could this person beat Donald Trump?
That is the main question.
Where in past elections it's, well, what's their plan?
It's
different this time,
right?
And when you look at somebody like Buttigieg, even though it's perfectly fine, you know, whatever your orientation are, it's not for us to judge. But, you know, do you want to put somebody in there who it might not work?
I think he would do well against Trump. I really think he can hold his own, you know.
Is there a line in the Democratic Party right now that really wants to put the first woman in office.
Well, I think that a lot of women feel that. I don't know about everybody, but I know most of the women are leaning that direction.
But it does seem the front runner since he got in has been Joe Biden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he is the front runner? What is it about him that allows him to hold that?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the black vote, having worked with Obama. Yeah, I think that's where that is.
And that came up last night.
Yeah.
And Cory Booker made sure to bring that up last night. And the basic gist of it was, and again, these are all paraphrases, but Cory Booker at one point turned to Joe Biden last night and said, you can't just invoke President Obama's name when you want to.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't think he needed to say that, you know?
Is that a low blow?
I thought it was.
See, do you think that's what Joe Biden's doing?
Well, why wouldn't you use it? It's part of your past. You were vice president with him for 8 years, and you know the man.
What did you make, I believe this also was from Booker, about the Kool-Aid comment last night, drinking the Kool-Aid?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think they could have been nicer to one another and talked about, instead of trying to knock each other, they could have said things about what they were going to do or talked against Trump instead of who they talked against. It was like a royal fight up there last night.
Well, is that because they have to knock Joe Biden off the top?
Well, they're trying to get their footing, and that's how they're trying to do it.
I just have seen so many moments, especially last night, that are not going to play well in a general election for all the attacks that have been made on Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I mean, they have talked about his plan for Medicare. They have talked about knocked it. They have knocked an op-ed he wrote about women years ago. They have knocked his position on the Hyde bill. And these are Democrats doing it.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to play in November of 2020?
Boy, that's what you have when you have a big primary.
And the Republicans right now do not have one.
No.
And they have an incumbent.
Right. And usually the Republican Party is so controlled that when they do have a primary, they don't do this.
Why do you think that is? It's been
They're very controlled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've been that way forever.
Yeah.
Why is it that there does seem to be a more cohesive unit?
I think it was Reagan said, you know, we don't talk about our own. Yeah.
Do you think the Democrats should adopt that?
I think they should, yeah. I think it'd be wise.
Yeah. But is it, why don't they?
Because they're uncontrollable.
Well, is there anybody, strategist, up there saying, maybe we don't want to do this in front of large audiences?
They should have said, they should have talked that over before they went out last night.
And they didn't, obviously.
Yeah.
What do you think the fallout from last night is going to be for Joe Biden? Because he was clearly the target.
Well, I thought he held his own, as I said. He had good answers for most of it, and we'll watch the polls, and we'll see. You know, in a few days, we'll be able to tell what effect it had. But I think he held his own.
Medicare did come up again last night. Medicare for all seems to be the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden, as near as I can tell, wants to stay with the Affordable Care Act.
Yes, right.
But change it a little bit.
Yes, they improve it.
Improve it.
Yeah.
And it seems like the others don't.
Well, you know what I found was Kamala Harris mentioned Kathleen Sebelius, and there was a little bit of an argument there about that. and you know, they were all going through all of this health care. And Trump wants to totally do away with it. And that's the main objective on his part and the Republican part. So, I mean, if they'd take a different direction, and it was due to the questions they were asked. Why were those questions asked? Did they want to cause trouble, or did they want to really know where everybody stood? You know, you can ask yourself that.
When it comes to health care, though, not a lot of talk in the main, because I think the belief is currently that even if, it's clear the Congress right now, which is Democrat, is not going to try to repeal Obamacare. So it's not going to get to the Senate for them to vote. And the last time it went to the Senate, they didn't pass it anyway.
Oh, it's been like 50 times they voted against it.
Right. Right. Well, when Trump wanted to repeal it, they couldn't repeal it, even though they had a Republican House and a Republican Senate. But now there's not a whole lot of talk. That's why I've been surprised that there's so much talk in these debates, because in the main, I haven't heard much talk about it.
Yeah, right.
Is that going to be the main issue? It's always been an issue. Is it going to be the main issue again in the election?
Well, it was last night and the night before.
Is it a good issue for the Democrats?
Well, I think it's an important issue. But I think the biggest issue to me is what Trump has done to our country. The embarrassment that he's been. I wish they'd concentrate on that a little bit more.
One of the things last night that I thought was interesting in this whole healthcare conversation, and even the night before, the healthcare that is in this land right now is Obamacare, mm-hmm. which was put in place by a Democratic president, the last Democratic president. And it seems all of a sudden like the only Democrat that wants to keep that is Joe Biden.
No, there was a couple of others. Kamala Harris, she was keeping it with some diversion there. I don't remember exactly. She was talking about this 10-year plan am I correct on that?
I think that's right, but the change, I remember Joe Biden was trying to ding her on the price.
Yeah, right. He didn't like 10 years. Yeah. And, I thought some of the other, I can't remember the one governor, I thought he was in favor of Obamacare. But remember how hard it was to pass that? It was just the hardest thing in the world. And now that we've got it, I think, why don't you build on that? Because if they try to do Medicare for all, you think that's going to be easy? It's not going to be easy, I'll tell you. I don't know how they'd ever get it through.
Well, wouldn't they have to repeal what we have already?
They probably would. I don't know exactly what they'd have to do there. But, the fact that you have to have 60 votes in the Senate, I mean, how are you going to get that?
Do you think the people who are viewing this are fearful?
Oh, probably, yeah. It's a hard thing to put yourself out there for the public to look you over and listen to you and try to decide if you know what you're doing or not.
What did you make of the little dust up that Bill de Blasio got in?
You know, he's something else.
He is.
he is. I think he would be. I don't know what kind of a president he would get. He would be very demanding, I think. I think he could stand up well against Trump. I think if they went against one another. They're both from New York City.
They are. And he's the mayor of New York.
Yeah.
But he took a lot of heat last night for keeping the officer employed.
Oh, yeah.
Was in the incident with the person who was choked.
Yeah.
And did you think he responded well to that?
You know, I didn't hear that because there was a short time I had to take care of some things, and so I think I missed that.
Also, Cory Booker got some chants from some protesters.
Yes.
About that whole thing.
Yes.
And
that was a shock.
Yeah, what do you think that was about?
Well, to me, it was a shock that it occurred at that type of an event. How did that happen? You know, somebody must have really felt strongly about it, and I couldn't understand what they were saying. But they said that's what it was. It was about the police situation. And all the, you know, Buttigieg and the New York mayor, and these are all, and Booker, these are all police situations. Yeah.
Is that going to be an issue in November of 2020?
Which?
The police in this country.
Well, it very well could be because, you know, it's situations that have happened, and it involves race. The race is the part of that, the important part. Yeah.
The crime bill that came up under President Clinton, Hillary took a lot of heat over that during her campaign, and it seemed like that came up again last night. Biden, I think that was used a little bit against Biden last night. Is that a hard thing for the Democrats to coalesce the tough on crime bill that landed a lot of people in jail?
Oh, yes. They're trying to correct that now. Yeah. I think that was, you know, we go through these phases. What was it? The third time's the charm. What was
three,
that?
Three strikes and
you're
out.
Three strikes and you're out. And then, of course, the marijuana, the people selling it and so forth, they're all looking at things differently now. All the states are looking at marijuana differently.
Gillibrand last night took her shot at Joe Biden over an op-ed article that was written, I think, over 20 years ago, that women should stay home and men should go out. And Joe Biden had a good response to that.
Yeah, he did. He said his first wife worked and his second wife worked. And that's true.
And also in the answer, Biden kind of took a dig at her that I don't know why she's saying this. Maybe it's because she's running for president.
Yeah, that was a good answer.
And she didn't seem to know what to say to that.
Yeah, right.
What do you feel is going on with her campaign? Because at one point, she was seen as a big deal.
But she's not a big deal. No, she isn't. She's just not doing well. I don't know. She tries to come across strong, and I still think people resent the fact that she caused Al Franken to leave the Senate. I think it was all of that. I think that's a big problem for her.
Why has only one person gotten out of the race for president?
Yeah, you'd think more of them would drop out, and they keep jumping in. I mean, you know, they're still coming in the race, and it's amazing.
Are the people who are still getting in at this late date, are they just unhappy with all 25 people?
I don't know what they're thinking, but I think they can win, and so they get in the race, and it's kind of ridiculous, but... yeah, it's There's a lot of unhappy people about this president. I think that's what it boils down to.
And then there's Marianne Williamson.
Yes, right. I was surprised at her last night, or night before last. And I think you know that I know her. And I went on this cruise that she had, and when we went to Greece. And so I feel like I know her. I feel like I know Biden. And and I know Tim Ryan. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about these people, because we're being introduced to all of them except Joe Biden, really, for the first time.
Yeah, right.
Does Marianne Williamson talk like that in real life?
She had a huge church in Michigan when she took us on that cruise. It was an enormous church in, I think it was in Detroit. And she was a very religious person. And I really liked her. But as far as running for president, I was shocked when I saw that she was included in the first debate, because I thought, well, she won't make it into the first debate. And then she did, and then she made it into the second debate. And now, I mean, 49 states, she had questions. People in 49 states had questions about her the other night, so she struck a nerve. And they're looking at her and trying to decide, you know, what she's about, because she didn't hardly have a chance in that first debate. They gave her one question or two questions, and that was about it. And I thought they were more fair in this debate.
What would you characterize? What is she saying when she's up there?
She's saying that everybody's on the wrong track on running against Trump, and I think she might be right.
Her responses are interesting.
Yeah.
It was something the other night about the dark forces.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, she she can get into that, and there are dark forces, and one of them sitting in the White House, and so there you are.
Because I just wonder, she was most Googled in 49 states.
Yeah.
After Tuesday night. And is that because they like her?
It's because they wondered who in the heck she was.
Yeah. Is it because she's saying things that
they
are
caught,
so...
She caught their ear, and they were trying to figure out what's going on here. We didn't know anything about her before. She didn't register.
Do you think she's catching people's ear in a good way or a bad way?
Well, I think it's a good way. I really think it's a good way, but... I just can't picture her as president, you know.
She's certainly entertaining.
Yeah.
When she speaks.
Yeah. I've got to tell you. She called me the day that I got found out I was leaving the treasurer's office, and then she sent me one of her books. We were pretty much in touch with one another, but then the last few years we haven't been. But I said to my daughter, I said, you know, I ought to get in touch with her again.
Yeah, this would be the time to see.
Right. And I've got a friend that it was due to Marianne Williamson that the two of us met, and she's coming to see me next week, and we're going to be talking about Marianne Williamson.
Do you like her?
I like her very much. Oh, she's a wonderful person.
Could you vote for her?
I don't think so.
Why?
I just don't think. She's presidential material.
When she called you when you found out you were leaving, does she talk normal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
I was not talking normal. And she felt sorry for me, you know.
So it was a nice call.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was.
A consoling call.
She's a very kind person. Yeah.
So is the person we see a caricature, or is that the real person?
It's the real person, I think. Yeah. She, when she believes in something, she believes in it. I mean, it's solid.
What's interesting to me, do you think she's answering the questions? Because she's not talking about Medicare, it doesn't seem like.
No.
She goes another place mm-hmm. in those moments.
Yeah.
And is that good?
And she, well, it's nothing wrong with it because they were talking too much about it, I thought. I mean, they were on it for how long the other night? It was because of the question, but she took it a different direction, which there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what some of them should have done. They should have taken those direction against Trump instead of against each other.
It's fascinating. We've got a lot more to talk about here. We're going to break for 10 minutes. Coming up on 9 o'clock this morning, the guest is 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Don't forget, the open house is coming up on August 31st from 2 to 4 p.m. at Primrose here in Marion, 1550 Wellness Drive. No admission, and Mary Ellen will be there to answer your questions on August 31st. And we're going to come back with Mary Ellen in about 10 minutes and talk a little bit more about these debates and some things going on in general, so stay tuned. Another hour to go.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary owner of the Marion grocery store, Smith Cardinal, Bob Smith.
Well, at the height of, you know, sealing things and everything, the height of two times is a big story. This, we had been into